Can we turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, the book, the portion of Scripture that we were reading? Our text this evening is the latter part of verse 2. We'll just read all of verse 2. It says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Can we just bow, please, in a word of prayer as we come to God's precious word? Our loving God and our Father, we do thank Thee for the wonder of Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the fact that Thou dost look upon sinners. O God, we realize that Thy eyes are pure. They cannot look upon iniquity. But we thank Thee that those that are under the blood are those to whom Thou canst look. And our Father, we pray that there may be those tonight who will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou art able to save, are able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Thee. And we pray tonight that Thou wouldst have mercy upon the souls of men and women, young people, boys and girls tonight. Save. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Those of you that have been on a trip to Israel, to the Holy Land, will usually have gone to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And it's a spot that is particularly revered in the Jewish religion. And you'll see Orthodox Jews there and other Jews standing or sitting at the wall, and they'll be rhythmically going back and forward, and they'll be praying. And sometimes you'll see them with little bits of paper, and they will stuff the little bits of paper into the crevices of the wall, and those little pieces of paper contain prayers. And of course, that Wailing Wall is particularly revered to the Jews because it is thought by them to be the last piece of the temple, the last remaining standing stones of the temple. And you will think of the temple there. It was a place, it was the very center of Jewish religion. Of course, the Jews can't go up on the Temple Mount today because they consider it to be desecrated by the Islamic temple that is there, and so this is the only place where they can express their religion and come to pray. It's the place where they can be closest to the temple. And we think of the wonder of the temple as it was in Solomon's day. It was a place that was made of carved wood and gold overlaid. We think of the magnificence of that place. It was a place of marvelous beauty. Think of the dome that glittered with gold. And in the morning sun, as the sun would have rose, it would have glittered upon the temple. And my, what a magnificent sight it was. We think of the enormity of the temple. It is said it took 153,600 workers to build the temple. And we think of the enormity and the size of it, because in the tabernacle, the lever was a relatively small thing. But when they built a lever for the temple, it was known as the molten sea. I was likened to a sea, so large was the lever in the temple. And we think of the enormity of the temple. And we also think of the fact that when God came down, when Solomon prayed, God came down into the midst of that temple and tabernacled with men. And there was God in the midst of His people. It was the place where the Lord manifested His glory. So when we think of the temple, even the Jews today revere the temple. And when we think of the place, it is a place of wonder and a place of marvel, even to our own hearts, as we think of God being there. But there's a problem here with the temple in the days of Isaiah. And the problem was that the Jews had begun to revere the bricks and mortar of the temple. And they were like the Jews today, who were looking to the bricks and mortar rather than to the God who had given them the temple and who was in the midst of the temple. And they were like many people who looked to their church rather than to the God who should be at the very center of the church. And there are people that say, "Well, I have my church." And they look to the church. And that's very much like what it was in the days of Isaiah. And the people were saying to themselves, "We have the temple. And as long as we have the temple, nothing can happen to us." You see, God had sent Isaiah the prophet to tell them that there was coming a day when Jerusalem would be razed. There was coming a day when Jerusalem would be led into captivity if they would not repent, if they would not turn away from their sin. There was certain judgment coming upon them. But the people of this day wouldn't listen. They said, "What we have the temple.
The temple is in Jerusalem. The house of God is there. And God would never cause His temple to be defiled. God would never cause heathen people to tramp across the temple. And rather than looking to God, they were depending upon the physical material of the temple itself. And God was speaking to these people here. And He reminded them that He was the one that made the temple. And He was one that gave the material that was in the temple. And they were looking to the wrong thing when they were looking to the temple. They were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are we. But look at what God says. He says in this portion of Scripture, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? And He was just reminding them. That He says, for all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. And then He says this, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. What the Lord was really saying to them here, He's saying, don't you be looking into the temple. The temple's nothing. He says, I'm going to build a house, and I'm going to build it of people. And I'm going to build it of those that are poor and of a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word. Said, that's going to be my temple. It's not going to consist of mortar. It's not going to consist of stones. It's not going to consist of gold. It's not going to consist of carved wood. It's going to consist of people. And if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, this is confirmed in God's word, because He says of the people who are God's, ye then as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Those that are saved today are God's temple. God hasn't a temple made of stone or of wood or anything else. God is a temple consisting of His people. Ye are lively stones. We are the temple of God. We see that many times in God's precious word. Now the thing that I want to say to you tonight, those of you that are unsaved in this meeting, is that unless you're part of this temple, unless you're one of these living stones that are built up into a temple for God, then you're lost. Unless you are one of these stones that God has placed in His superstructure, in His church, then you're going down to a place of utter destruction and eternal damnation. You need to be one of these living stones. You need to be part of the temple of God. And God describes the people who are these living stones in this verse of Scripture. He says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now those are the people who are the living stones, who are part of the church of Christ, who are redeemed by His precious blood. It's only those that are poor and of a contrite spirit and who tremble at God's word. Now you need to be one of those people. If you're going to be saved tonight, you need to display these characteristics. Now the question tonight that I ask you is, has there been that time when you've trembled at God's word? Is there that time when you've come as a poor, contrite sinner to the foot of the cross and been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? For dear friend, you need to come. You must come. There's no other way. God says, that's the person to whom I look. And so tonight I want us to look at the characteristics. I want to look at these people that the Lord describes. And it's imperative, dear friend, that you're one of them. And if you're not one of them, you need to come tonight in the way that is described in this text of Scripture. And you need to bow your knee at the foot of the cross. And you need to come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the text of Scripture and see those who are God's lively stones, part of His church, and washed and redeemed in the precious blood of the Lamb. What does it say about them? Well, look first of all at the characters defined. What does our text say about those who are God's temple? Well, He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And you can see the characteristics of these people. Now, you notice some of the things that they are not here. As we look at the list of things that are given here, we can see some of the things that are not displayed by people who are God's living stones. And the first thing I want you to see is they're not a proud people. It says that they are poor and of a contrite spirit. They're not proud. They're not people who look to themselves. They're not people who say, well, look at me, I'm as good as anybody else. No, it says they are poor and of a contrite spirit. The word contrite there is a word that means they are stricken or they have a smitten spirit. They're not the people who rise up and say to God, who is the Lord, that I should obey His voice. No, they are people who humbly hear the Word of God and say, I must bow in reverence before God's Word. They say, this is God's Word. This is what God says. I've got to hear what God says, and I will need to come and do what He says in His Word. They're no longer careless. They're no longer reckless. They are people who have the authority of God's Word stamped in their heart. There are many people today, and they are careless, and they are proud. And as far as they are concerned, their opinion is as good as God's. And maybe as they listen to God's Word, well, that's another factor to be put in, but it's only another factor to put alongside their own opinions. They put alongside the opinions of their friends. They put alongside the opinions of the world at large. And it's just another factor. And they are proud, because that's pride. You think your opinion is as good as God's opinion. That's pride. Well, these people aren't proud. They come before the living God of heaven. And they come with a poor and contrite spirit. And they come like Samuel of old. And they say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Is that what you're saying tonight? Is that what God is saying to you as you have listened to God's Word? You're just saying, oh, I know that I need to be saved. But maybe pride is just rising up within you. Well, if pride is rising up within you, then you're not one of these people who are poor and of a contrite spirit. But before you come and before God will look to you, then you must bow the knee. You must come like the Pharisee in the temple and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible says of that Pharisee that he would not so much as lift up his eyes. He was so filled with a sense of his own sin, he would not so much as lift up his eyes. Those to whom God looks are a people who are poor and of contrite spirit. So they're not a proud people. And I want you to see something else. They're not a profane people. You know, it is awful that we so often treat the things of sin lightly. We can make a joke about the drunkard. We can make jokes about those that are down in the depths of sin. But sin is no joke. Sin is not a joke. Sin is that which has damned men in a Christless eternity. Millions of souls are in hell this evening because of sin. Sin is no good. We should never treat sin lightly. You should never look at what you do as something light. My friend, if you're on the way of sin, and if you're in a way that leads you against what God's Word says, never treat that lightly. That's profanity. As much as blaspheming God, as much as doing anything else, that's profanity. And the man who trembles at God's Word here is a man who's not profane. He knows what sin is. He knows what sin is doing. He knows where sin is leading him. And the man who trembles at God's Word is a man who looks at the book. And if a man trembles at God's Word, then, of course, the world will ridicule him. The man who trembles at God's Word is a man or woman who is looked at in the world as a fool. But whether you're looked at as a fool or not, you will not profane God's holy book. And not only is a sinner a person who trembles at God's Word, but the saint is a person who trembles at God's Word. Now, a sinner will come and tremble when they realize that they're sinners. They will realize that they have come short of the glory of God, and they tremble because of their sin. Now, when they're saved, that is dealt with, and that trembling is God, because they have a peace in their heart and a peace of conscience. But you know, those that are saved must also tremble at God's Word. You think of the old Quaker, George Fox. He was a man who trembled at the Word of God. The hymn writer said, I only tremble at His Word. I only know my prayer is heard. Know according to His Word He undertakes for me. We tremble at the Word of God. Oh, the sinner who comes to God, he's not a proud person. He's not a profane person. And I want you to see something else. He's not a presumptuous person. The person that is described in this text of Scripture, the man that God delights in, is a person with a vision who sees who God is, who sees his sin, and he is smitten before God, and he doesn't presume. There are many people today who presume. They presume they'll be all right. They presume that God will overlook their sin. They presume that they're upright because they go along to church. They're like the children of Israel there. They're presuming that because they have the temple, that they'll be all right. Because they have their name on a church roll, that they'll be all right. Because they've been baptized, that they'll be all right. No, that man is not a presumptuous person because he's trembling. He's not taking it for granted that he's saved. You know, the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." He's not presuming upon God. You know, it would be an awful thing on the day of judgment to stand before God and hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." No, this person to whom God looks is a person who trembles. He doesn't presume on God. He's not proud. He's not a person who's profane in that he ignores God and takes things for granted. No, this is a man who trembles. Are you trembling tonight? Is God speaking to you as we're under the sound of God's precious word? Do you realize the authority of God? That God is in heaven tonight, looking down upon you. Oh, sinner, tremble. You need to tremble. You must tremble at his word. Here we see the number of things that this man is not. He isn't proud. He isn't profane. He isn't presumptuous. But then I want you to see what he is. It says here, he trembles at God's word. He's acquainted with the word of God. He's a man who has heard what God's word has to say. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that man is a man who has heard what God has to say about sin, has heard what God has to say about destruction, has heard what God has to say about the way of salvation, and he's come trembling to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. He's a person who has heard and is acquainted with the Word of God. And thank God tonight that you've been acquainted with God's precious Word. In Sunday school, in other meetings, you've been acquainted with the Word of God. And you come trembling. Moses said in the presence of God, "I exceedingly fear and quake." And he was a righteous man. And shouldn't you tremble tonight? Well, you need to do more than tremble. Felix trembled, but he wasn't saved. Indeed, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. You've got to be saved. You've got to not only come and tremble at his word, but you've got to heed his word. It says here that he's the man that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Oh, dear friend, will you listen tonight? Will you heed what the word of God has to say? We see the characters of the characteristics defined as we look at these people that God looks to. But then I want you to see their condition described. Because we have learned something about the people themselves. But I want you to see here that as they tremble, it says something about their condition. Because there's a depth here to their condition. If a person trembles, it means that it's not just something outward that's taking place. It is something that is not superficial. If you tremble at something, it is something that's inward. It's something that is deep. It's right down in the very depths of your heart. Now, when God speaks, he doesn't speak just to the outward. He doesn't just speak to the mind. But God deals with the heart. There's a question that's asked in the Word of God. Is this, is thy heart right with God? God's not just looking to your mind. God doesn't want your hands or your feet. God just doesn't want some kind of acknowledgement. He wants your heart. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood. Is thy heart holy? humble and lowly. Is thy heart right with God? These people were stricken in their heart. The very innermost thoughts, the very innermost feelings were got hold of by the Word of God. See, God has to deal with the very... You see, it's the depths that are the matter in your life. It's the very heart that is spewing out that poison that infects you. It's the very heart that drives you. The very thing that dictates to you and shows you the way that you go. Dear friend, it's your heart. God must have your heart. The psalmist said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And dear friend, it must be the depths that you cry out from. And here were people that acknowledged the depths of their condition. They trembled. And they saw also the danger of their condition. Why did they tremble? Because they were in danger. They realized that God's word was real. They realized that hell was real. They realized that punishment was real. They realized that destruction was real. Man or woman, I'll tell you this. If I was in your shoes, unsaved, I would tremble. I would tremble. There was a man one time, a preacher, a French preacher actually. He preached a very fiery sermon on the future punishment of the wicked. And afterwards, one of his hearers came up to him and he said, "What an eloquent sermon. How gloriously you preached." And the preacher said, "Well, you didn't understand me." He says, "That's another sermon wasted. You see, if a sermon about future punishment doesn't make a soul tremble, it's wasted. You didn't understand. If I stand here tonight and tell you that there is a hell to come and you don't tremble, you've not understood. It hasn't got through. If it doesn't make you quake, if your legs don't go from under you, then, dear friend, you haven't understood. You haven't understood. If you were just to get a glimpse of the reality of this, you would tremble, for there's a danger for your soul. There's a danger that you're in. Oh, dear friend, that you might realize the judgment of Almighty God and what it's about. And these people tremble because of the depth of their condition and the danger of their condition. But then they trembled, and we see the desire of their condition. Because when they trembled, they turned to God. I read of a man who trembled in the Word of God. I read about the Philippian jailer. And it says that he called for a light and fell down and came trembling before Paul and Silas. And when, you remember the earthquake, and the Philippian jailer and Paul and Silas were in the prison. And when the earthquake took place, the Philippian jailer came in and he was trembling. He was trembling. And the very earth was shaking under him because God had sent an earthquake. But it was just a symptom of the fact that he himself was afraid. But what did he do when he was afraid? What did he say when he trembled? He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's what he said. And if you're really trembling, if you're trembling the way that this text is speaking of, that's what you will say. If you're convicted of your sin and under conviction of God, then you will say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, that you may say it tonight. I'm praying, people here are praying, that there may be one in this meeting who will come and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Thank God that our Savior died on the cross and shed His blood that you might be free. And there's a way of salvation. Oh, that you might come trembling before God tonight and accept that way that He's offered in the gospel. Thank God for the healing balm that there is in the blood of the Lamb. We see the characters defined. We see their condition described. But then I want you to see something else. Notice the consequences declared. What will happen to those that tremble? What will be the consequences for those that are poor and of a contrite spirit and tremble at God's word? Well, look at what the text here says. It says, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." God says that He looked to you. God will look at you. You say, that's not a big deal. Somebody looks at me.
Well, in the normal circumstances, it mightn't be a big deal. You might think it's nothing. But even in the normal circumstances, if somebody looks at you, at least they have acknowledged that you're there. They have admitted that your presence is there. It does mean something, no matter how little it is. But we're not dealing with the ordinary circumstances here. Notice who it is that has said this. This is the God of heaven. God of heaven, the pure and holy God, is saying that He will look to you. He will look at you. And if God looks towards us, that's a significant thing. Because God does not look towards sinners. God does not look towards those that are in iniquity, because sinners are dead in His eyes. And they're dead in trespasses and in sin. And if God looks towards you, that's an acknowledgement that there's life. God looks at those that are spiritually alive. So if God looks at you, you're alive. You have eternal life. That's what it means. It's eternal life that God is acknowledging by His look. And it's a look of approval. It's a look of acceptance. Remember what David said? A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And whatever or whoever God may overlook, He will not overlook the man or woman who trembles at His word, who has got down in repentance before Him and acknowledged their sin and said, I am a poor, wretched sinner. Save me. God will look to you. God will not look at those that are proud. God will not look at those that are profane. God will not look at those that are presumptuous. God will not look at those that are down in the very depths of sin, but God will look to those who are poor and have a contrite spirit. They tremble at His word. Now I want to know tonight, has there been that time when you've trembled at God's word? Has there been that time when in contrition you've bowed your knee at His feet? God says, I will only look to those that are poor and have a contrite spirit and tremble at my word. There needs to be that day. Will it be tonight? Will it be just now in this meeting that you'll tremble at His word? And listen to what He says. God says, He'll look to you. But there's more in the text than that, because not only will God look toward us, those that tremble at His word, but the whole context is that He will dwell in our hearts. Because this is the very thrust of the passage. This is what the whole passage means. God is saying to those that are of a contrite spirit and who tremble at His word that they will be His temple. You will be the lively stones in the temple. And He was going to build this beautiful house made of the lively stones. Now, to the mind of the Jew, there was not a building like the temple in all the earth. But now God speaks and He says, where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? And He says this, but to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He says, where are the stones? Where is my rest? It's with those that are a contrite spirit, with those that tremble at my word. That's what He's saying. He's saying, as I dwell in the temple, so I will dwell in them. And that's what we read of in the whole of the Word of God. And time after time we're told that we are the temple of God. You think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What know ye not that your body, speaking to Christians here, the Corinthian Christians, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. The Holy Spirit dwells, God dwells in those who are His, who are of a contrite spirit. We think of how He says again, the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Are you part of the temple of God? Is He dwelling in your heart? God says, I will dwell in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Where does God dwell? In a trembling heart. Where does God dwell? In a contrite heart. Where does God abide? In a heart that's repentant before Him. That's where God abides. Is God abiding in you? Is God in your heart? The hymn writer said, a trembling soul, I sought the Lord.
my sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet His word to me. I took thy place and died for thee. Dear friend, as a trembling soul tonight, seek the Lord. As a contrite heart tonight, seek the Lord. As a man of a poor spirit, poor before God, acknowledging what you are, call upon the name of the Lord. And He will save you. And He'll wash you in His own precious blood. And He'll look towards you. You'll have life. And He'll dwell in your heart. And He'll be there forevermore. And you'll have everlasting life that'll never come to an end. Would you not want that? Is that not something wonderful? Isn't it not something marvelous? Be saved tonight. Come as a poor, contrite, trembling soul, and heed what God's word has to say. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. And dear friend, if you're not saved, will you come to the Lord tonight? We're going to bow in a word of prayer. Let's just bow in prayer. And if God has been speaking to you, and you recognize tonight, and God has been speaking and you trembled, you recognize tonight that you're a sinner, well then, just where you are in your seat, you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and cleanse your soul. You ask Him to come and take all your sins away. Because that's the only person whom God will look to. That's the only person whom God will dwell in. The person of a poor and a contrite heart. Tremble at His word. Oh, tremble tonight. Realize the depth of your need. Realize the danger that you're in. Realize and have a desire to seek Him. And He will wash your sins away in His own precious blood. Oh, come tonight. If we can have been of help to you, we'll be in the room afterwards. We'll walk down, just go into the room. And if God has been speaking to you, we'll point you in any way that we can. The things of God, but don't go away without the Savior. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word. And we realize, our God, that the Lord dwells in those who are poor and of a contrite heart and who tremble at God's word. Oh, Father, come tonight and write Thy word upon the hearts of those that are here and bring them to that place of repentance where they have a contrite heart, where they tremble at His word. And Lord, that they may seek the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, bless now. Separate us with Thy blessing and watch over us and be with us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.